World Watchers, IMA Brussels, broadcast number 835, December the 7th, 1987. Before I get into the main part of the program, I do want to mention two things. One, that on KFJC, the program up in Los Altos that has played World Watchers for over 7 years, David Emery has put it on. I offered the same suggestion to them at their fundraising that I've had with Kazoo, that the first 15 listeners that called in and pledged $100 or more to the station would be invited to my home for a potluck dinner. Now, David Emery has given me your names. There's 15 names and your telephone numbers. I can't call all of you. I don't have your addresses, and I want to get them so I can get the invitations out to you with the directions to get to my house, but we'll have to work around what we have now because the weeks go pretty quickly. John Judge is in town. He's in San Francisco. He lives in Washington, and he's going to be at my home December the 17th, Friday night, December 17th. So those of you that are part of this arrangement up at KFJC, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I will tell you, give a map on how to get to my house. The dinner will be at 7 in the evening on Friday, December 17th. So you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. If you don't have my address, it is P.O. Box 22511 Carmel 93922. Send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. Keep the 17th open, Friday the 17th, and John will be down from San Francisco, and you can come to the house, and we'll have this potluck dinner. This is December the 7th, and 7 years ago, December the 7th, 1980, I did a broadcast number 470, and part of that broadcast reminded people, in case they had short memories, the subject was the assassination teams from the early 60s are all in place, if not part of the murders, all part of the cover-up. And I listed certain people as heads of former assassination teams and how they would come down once Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, which would be in 4 weeks from that time. That was December the 7th. And then the next morning or late that evening, John Lennon was murdered. On officially December the 8th, 1980, one day later. And I mentioned such people as Ronald Reagan and Paul X. Ald and John J. McCloy and Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford and John Tower and Richard Allen and Howard Baker and Richard Vagary as being part of that group. And some of those names you know. The two people that have stayed very quiet these years that Reagan's been in office are Ed Davis from the Los Angeles Police Department, who's a senator in California, and Evel Younger, the former attorney general of the state. Oh, Evel Younger didn't go back to Washington as part of that entourage around Reagan when he became president, and he has stayed very, very silent all of these years for one reason or another. But I did about four broadcasts on John Lennon and then updated it later, the conspiracy behind John Lennon's murder. And I believed at the time, I said that he could rally people for peace at a time when this administration was going for war. Now, just this past week, the president shocked the world, and particularly those in America, by saying, as an introduction to his meeting with Mr. Gorbachev and the summit meetings, that there were people in his administration and around him, surrounding him, who believe that World War III is inevitable. And I'll do more on that in a minute regarding the summit. But what I was saying at the time John Lennon was murdered was that he was a symbol of peace. He and Yoko Ono, for whatever it was worth, they were symbolic of the peace movement, and they could rally a million people separately or combined, the Beatles, within 24 hours and have large rallies, and that this administration was hell-bent towards war, and I still think they are, and the summit is nice to be happy about, but reduce it to the realities of what's going on, and it's scary to see the street theater and put people at ease continuously over things that have no contact with reality. The reality are the weapons that are being made and deployed at the present time. I've been giving a list of magazines and books that are available for the holidays, of Christmas presents, and gave you the addresses. Many of you sent self-addressed stamped envelopes, and I gave you where to subscribe or order these publications. There are also a lot of good videotapes out and some other material. I want to give you three more references. I hope you have your pencil handy. There is one company that is called Fusion Video, and the it's toll-free, 1-800-338-7710. It's 24-hour, toll-free, and then they'll give you the address and maybe a catalog. Some of the videos they have available, one is Mein Kampf, a visual hour-and-a-half movie on the rise of Hitler. The other is Inside the Company Business. These are three tapes on the CIA, the Bay of Pigs, and political assassinations, and the role of the CIA. One video is called The Kennedys, a definitive look at one of America's most powerful families. Another one is McCarthy, Death of a Witch Hunter. And this is the story of Senator Joe McCarthy, directed by Emil D'Antonio. That's the gentleman who made the effort to spring Fritz Kramer and Sepp Dietrich and Joachim Piper out of the Dachau prison. Take a look at him. And another one that I mentioned last week that I had bought, of Pure Blood, the story of creating a super race for the Germans, is on this catalog. 10 Days That Shook the World. This is Orson Welles with John Reed. And you can get The Confessions of Bernard Goetz, a 90-minute movie. The videotape, the great Bernard Goetz. But they have a big collection here, and the number is 1-800-338-7710, and you can bring history into your living room. And if you want to call a TV number for another history into your living room, you for a videotape of Ollie North, the advertisement says, feel his appeal to stop Soviet Union's establishing a terrorist base in our backyard. See the slideshow that Congress wouldn't let you see. Hear the people who knew Ollie the best. That tape is $25 if you can stand it, 1-800-526-5000. And then for those of you who are in keeping with the material that I've been having lately on Satan and Heinrich Himmler's castle and the Waffen-SS and the United States Joint Chiefs of Staff and the War College, you can get some books and tape cassettes and flags and pins from the New Order. It's called The New Order. Box 6414, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68506. You can get flags, mini flags of the Waffen-SS, the Third Reich battle flag, the SS headquarters, the SS Panzer. You can get pins with the swastikas. You can get medallions to wear around your neck with the skull and crossbones or the flags of the Waffen-SS. And they have armbands, if you're armbands, and historical books, and books on race and books on the enemy, and politics and philosophy. Send for a list of their material, swastika flags, and you can get the German marching songs of the Third Reich. And Dr. Joseph Goebbels speaks 90 minutes, and Sieg Heil, war songs, and Triumph of the Will. An SS skull, that medallion on the chain, is a bargain. It's only $6.50, and the SS-style dagger is $29.95, and Hitler's knife is $12.50. That's a copy, of course. And your SS officer collar tabs are $11.50. Swastika stick pins are $3.50. You can regale yourself out just like Michael Aquino does from the Defense Department with his Nazi uniforms and armbands and pins and his videotapes of the Waffen-SS. If you want to know how to get them, there are dealer discounts, but at retail, the prices are listed in the catalog, and you can regale yourself out in full Nazi uniform and listen and march just like G. Gordon Liddy did with Robert Mardian of the Justice Department at the Watergate, and I say did in the past tense. I'm sure he's still doing it now. Well, the summit is taking place. Mr. Gorbachev is in town, and by the time any of you get this tape, the summit will have been over, and I just want to share a few comments about it. The Washington Times had an article last week, November 24th, armed U.S. Navy bombers fly mock raids at Soviet base. For the first time, Operation Shooting Star had our Air Force and our military practicing the targets of a Russian city and going after the Soviet Union. It's the first time that we have mock raids at the Soviet bases, that we are rehearsing to get to the Soviet bases. Also, the New York Times had a story this week. Swiss are ready to face Armageddon in comfort, and this is called Operation Ant. The $28 million shelter that was built, and they've been adding on more. That $28 million was up until 1976, and they're updating it. And in these shelters, they have four 350-ton concrete doors that are going to seal them off from the rest of the world and provide protection from blast and radiation. And you can stay in there. They have music. They say no rock music. It would be too disconcerting. Soothing music. And the shelter will have special rations, a closed-circuit radio, and bed and so forth, saving you from chemical, biological weapons. Operation Ants is ready to go, and the news people have been invited to see it. Also, I've mentioned a book called Armed and Dangerous, The Rise of the Survivalist Right. That has to do with the military and the same people that are involved in the bringing about the Fourth Reich, if they can. And the title of one of these book reviews is Rooting for Armageddon. So while there are a lot of people hoping the summit will have worked this past week, there's a lot of people who are rooting for Armageddon and some that have already been making their provisions. The San Francisco Chronicle had a story this week, Conservatives Blast Reagan's Arms Treaty. And many of you saw how they were complaining that Reagan was testing their loyalty, that he was making statements that didn't pertain to them, and that he said that down in their deepest thoughts, these people have accepted war is inevitable. Well, you don't have to be so smart to figure that out. As a matter of fact, several broadcasts I cited from the Washington Post had the weapons and the plans for World War III, and then the next plans, the budget, is already into World War IV. So the Defense Department does think war is inevitable, and the far right are accusing Reagan of being a complete sellout. The anger of his own group has turned against him. They put him into power not to make deals with the evil empire, but to keep whipping their butt until they are weak and down on the ground begging for mercy. The groups that opposed him gave themselves a title now. It's called the AAA, and it's not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the Anti-Appeasement Alliance that issued a statement about Reagan and his foreign policy, and they said the president may have abandoned his earlier position, but we have not. The AAA is a group of very far right-wing people that feel that he has abandoned them by meeting with Mr. Gorbachev. And, of course, you know the names that have been in the news castigating him for the things that he is doing. Besides members of the Senate, there's Howard Phillips and the very far right. Howard Phillips says he's an apologist for Mikhail Gorbachev. Ronald Reagan is a weak man with a strong wife and a strong staff. And, of course, you saw the quotation calling him a useful idiot. This is coming from the far right. And Brent Bozell of the Conservative, he's chairman of the Conservative Victory Committee, said, I speak for millions of conservatives who fought for years to put this man in the White House. And when I say that the president insulted the conservative movement last night by saying that they even would think about wars being inevitable and so forth, he says we have been abandoned. The movement has been abandoned by Ronald Reagan. We didn't leave him. He left us. Well, the AAA, the Anti-Appeasement Alliance, may or may not coincidentally have the same initials as the death squad set up outside of Madrid with Otto Skorzeny in Central and South America and the very people that were working arming our Contras down in Central America. The AAA in South America is the Alianza Anticomunista Apostolica. That's the three A's, and that's set up by Mr. Stefano Della Calle, Otto Skorzeny, and Francesco Pazienza, Licio Gelli. These are the death squads that have eliminated the middle class, the labor leaders, the professors, and taking away women and children. And also in Spain, there is the 3A, the Anti-Communist Alliance. There's the Argentine Anti-Communist Alliance, and then the other, Alianza Anticomunista Apostolica in Spain. All of them set up by way of the CIA export-import offices in Madrid, and such characters as Michele Sindona and Francesco Pazienza, and the death squads in Italy, responsible for the Bologna bombing, individual or mass murders and other bombings in Italy coming from the far right. They tried to pass it off on the left. Those death squads use the 3A as their initials. And the thing we have to worry about in this country is that Anti-Appeasement Alliance. They are armed and dangerous, just as that title of the book, Armed and Dangerous, Ready for the Armageddon, the Survivalist Right. because these people have collected in offshore banking and Swiss banks money for the kinds of uniforms I was reading about earlier that you can order from the order. They are trained approximately every 20 miles from each other. They are the survivalists, the posse comitatus, and when they stop taking or fighting those wars overseas in Vietnam, Angola, and Afghanistan, the war is going to be at home. Mr. Richard Butler, who is the head of the Aryan Nations, was a Lockheed engineer. He worked on the U-2 program before he began his Aryan Nations, Armed and Dangerous. And the far right has very strong links to the Defense Department. So watching the far right have the mouthpiece, Howard Phillips, and referring to the president as an idiot and a weak man, is just the beginning of breaking down the American presidency, as bad as it is, and it's falling apart. This can be very dangerous. And Richard Vagary was the gentleman who absolutely was so elated when Ronald Reagan ran the presidency. And he says, now we feel alienated, abandoned, and rejected by the president. And that's one thing the president can't do, because that's why he is their president. That's why they went to so much trouble to kill or get rid of the other people in his way to have the power they wanted. And they didn't want a weak man. Richard Nixon became weak going to China and Russia. When everything else was crumbling, he bargained from a position of weakness. And with the Iran-Contra affair, Reagan is bargaining from a position of weakness. And the Avengers, the very mean people who vowed never, never to have anything less than a war with those people, are not going to take Ronald Reagan seriously these last few months of his administration, no matter what is signed on a piece of paper. And the treaty that they were flying over today from Switzerland only has to do with 4% of the nuclear weapons anyway. Brent Bozell was angry, and the top spokesmen who were absolutely elated when Reagan was in office are now demolished and crushed by the thing that he's doing this last twilight of office. For the United States at the bargaining table, the missile table, whatever you want to call it, we have representatives, the easy soft side, if you can generalize, George Shultz, Howard Baker, Max Campbellman, and Roseanne Ridgway has a position there she's not seen very often. I don't know whether she's a Jean Kirkpatrick type. She's Assistant Secretary of State of European and Canadian Affairs, and she's not a Soviet arms control expert, and you see her up at the microphone now giving briefings at press conferences. On the other side of our U.S. team, take away those four names. The hardliners are Frank Carlucci, who still has this strange relationship with the faceless Eric von Marbod, as faceless as Fritz Kramer. Carlucci linked to Task Force 157 and the secret team. Ken Duberstein of the National Security Council. Jack Matlock of the National Security Council, who was received as the savior of the NSC with the notorious Fritz Kramer in January when Reagan's problems began to come unraveled. I mentioned Matlock as the hard line of the NSC. Paul Nitschke is part of the American Committee. That guy is only 80 years old, 80. And he's been at every one of these kinds of meetings since 1944. The Nazis went underground 1933 to 44. And Nitschke has been part of these hearings, and we've been on the brink or closer to the deployment of all kinds of weapons and actual war many times. And that old goat sits there, and so does Lieutenant General Colin Powell. Powell was part of the Ollie North Fawn Hall destruction of papers and documents. He was allowed to come in a position of weakness. Of the President of the United States has allowed a black national security advisor there, but he's had five changes, and as he's winding down his affairs, he is letting him have the power, and he was a good team player with Fawn Hall and Oliver North. And goodness knows what those papers would have showed if he didn't allow them to tear them up or put them in the shredder, and all of them were party of the same problem. Now, Fletcher Prouty, L. Fletcher Prouty, who wrote The Secret Team, has an article in The New Federalist this week. He writes for Lyndon LaRouche. Don't fall off your chair and be shocked by it. The New Federalist is the newspaper. It used to be New Solidarity. He writes for it often. He was a liaison of the Defense Department to the intelligence community. Flew Franklin Roosevelt to the Yalta and Tehran conferences, and he's writing for the New Federalist. There's some researchers that say May, you can't quote. Well, I don't take orders. I've told you that before. I'm a friend of Fletcher's, known him for years, and he writes in this paper. His articles are always interesting. He also writes for Liberty Lobby. He has an article called Yalta Revisited, Is Reagan Fit for the Summit? And he goes on to say that does it ask too much for those responsible officials and friends around the president to make some distinction between what natural senescence is with its narrowing of interest, rigidity, conservatism, and lapse of memory. But look at Ronald Reagan with his gross failures of judgment, with his decision to send arms to Iran, his logic about sending arms to Iran or no hostages taken. He said there's a gross failure of judgment, of social misconduct, all of which may indicate brain failure, perhaps dementia itself. Can't they seek the best medical assistance and go in to see if he has a brain problem? And I've talked about that before in this Dr. Walsh in Los Angeles and Beverly Hills, who says the same thing about the brain condition Ronald Reagan. And Fletcher Prouty is saying this is very serious business. He may have dementia, which is a gross impairment of intellect in an individual who previously was considered normal despite his age. And there is a problem about his not being able to talk without reading things, with blowing it and saying very strange things when he's alone and so forth. And L. Fletcher Prouty has been to two of these peace summits towards the end of World War II, is looking at Ronald Reagan and feeling there's something really wrong. And it's wonderful to have peace and sign a piece of paper. And Mr. Gorbachev is taking the moment and using it because this is the moment of weakness of the president. But people later can come back and null the whole agreement by saying he was senile and he didn't know what he was doing. Just like they said he had a great recovery when he was in the hospital, when he had the first cancer operation, and when he was shot also, and he didn't have a great recovery. He was very sick. It was a very long recovery period. They were lying then. And some people are going to come out of the White House and say that you weren't told the truth now, that what he signed isn't worth a piece of paper. And these people that feel that war is inevitable are right behind there, breathing down his back. Now, I want to do the rest of this program on some articles about Satanism, of Michael Aquino, the Church of Set in San Francisco. I've done several, and this is a subject that could go on for many, many months. And then I will be getting into the book, The Ultimate Evil, the one on Son of Sam and the links to the Manson family. There's an article in 1984, 3 years ago, by Ira Leibowitz in New Solidarity called War on Drugs, Who's Behind the Satanic Murder Cults? And this was written, as I say, I've had it, and many of these articles, this was 3 years ago, I've had a lot of articles on these things and didn't realize, truthfully, the seriousness of this matter. And now I'm going back and finding these stories and putting them together and adding it up. And it's truly more important and more serious than I realized at the time. In this story, it refers to a killing in Long Island, in Northrop, Long Island, June 16, 1984, which was a satanic murder. It was done by the Knights of the Black Circle, about 20 teenagers. And the Aleister Crowley Network, this is a man who came over here from London, set up a network that got itself involved into these satanic cult operations after he came to the United States. This article says there's an underground group, a network of satanic cult, that they show up in bookstores, at rock musics, at part of the counterculture, and they refer to the Hell's Angels, who are now on trial, and a lot of different members of these cults or groups that seem to link together. The British Satanist Aleister Crowley came to the United States in 1944. After World War II, he recruited teenage subcultures and started using satanic music. Now, 1943 to 44 is when the Nazis started going underground. Sir William Stevenson came here from British intelligence to merge with our OSS. And Aleister Crowley was sent from London and Switzerland, where he lived, to form the OTO. He founded OTO, that's initials for Ordo Templis Orientalis, in Pasadena, California. And it's linked to Israel's Francis Regard Order of the Golden Dawn that they have in Israel. The Crowley Network not only was in California and Pasadena, but this article said it was connected to the Church of Set, in parentheses, referring to Horus, and I'll go into the explanation of those terms in a little while. But in San Francisco, the Church of Set, which is Michael Aquino, and he was in the armed forces at the time this was written, and even out there at the Presidio, where the nursery school later would be involved in these child molestation cases, Michael Aquino was part of the military. And this author was writing about the Church of Set in 1984. And the article also goes into Anton LaVey from the Church of Satan in San Francisco. And LaVey is the links to the Manson family and Son of Sam. And it says that the satanic group stretches from Laurie Carrot's and Queen Juliana's witch museums that are in Salem, Massachusetts, to Scotland, to Herman Slater, and to a group in Atlanta, Georgia, the bookstore of the old religion and the Wicca in Atlanta, Georgia, and Anton LaVey in San Francisco, and also his base in Atlantic City. And I mention that because there were a whole lot of children and incidences of children missing right in New Jersey outside of Atlantic City. This article says these satanic atrocities have been appearing, such as the one at Northrop, Long Island, and they're put together by vigilantes of the right wing, and this is the Theater of Fascist Revival. These satanic groups have similarities to the Thule Society that provided Nazism with its ideology, and the Knights, these particular Knights of the Black Circle, killed one of their members because of some drug deals, and the satanic rituals, according to this article, have to do with digging up remains in the graveyards, getting the skulls, and selling the human skulls in return for drug money. The drugs are paid off with skulls. And this article of going back 3 years ago goes into the Church of Set and how people are slaughtered and mutilated. And this one particular person that was killed in Long Island had his eyes cut out, 17-year-old. And it goes into animal sacrifices that the groups are doing, and also personal and grave digging and human sacrifice is part of the group. And it goes into quite lurid details about during the Son of Sam murders in 1977-78, it was brought out that David Berkowitz followed the writing of the OTO Satanist Aleister Crowley and was linked to Carl Jung and certain centers of magic and so forth. And the centers have been involved with animal mutilations, some in Dudley, Massachusetts, others in Thompson, Vermont, and the discovery of human skeletons and fetus in Hollywood at the Ram Occult Bookstore and so forth. So this article was on to the Church of Set and Thomas Aquino and the links to the origin of Nazism, and that was also the links to Heinrich Himmler and the castle, the Westphalia Castle, that Michael Aquino does his ceremonies and satanic rituals in Himmler's castle, which is pretty scary because he's still in army uniform, and we'll see if anything comes out of that Presidio case. The powers that be in San Francisco don't even touch him. We'll take a one-minute break right now before I continue with the rest of this program of World Watchers. And I did want to say that one person came to the potluck that I had two of them for Kazoo, and I don't want to put his name on the air. He brought me a book, which I appreciated, called Archetype West.